When you see a need in your church, what's your first thought? Well, I better tell the pastor about that. Well, consider this from Pastor Al Pittman.
God has placed some things on some of your hearts that you've seen lacking. You're saying, I wonder when Pastor Al's going to start doing that. Never. Because I'm doing what God's already called me to do. I'm happy. I know what I'm doing, what he's called me to do. What has he called you to do? What is lacking in the church? You walk by, you know, Sunday school class, and you look in there and go, you know, somebody needs to go in there and empty the trash cans. And then you empty the trash cans.
Dwelling place, dwelling place.
Someone has well said that a leader is someone who knows the way, shows the way, and goes the way. We'll see the truth in that statement played out through Scripture today on The Dwelling Place, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. Pastor Al Pittman is currently leading us through the book of Titus. As we return to chapter 1, we see that Titus was given quite a challenge. He was sent to an island known as Crete, where rebellious men and deceivers were abundant. Let's see now how he handled it by returning to Pastor Al Pittman.
Follow me along there in verse 7. He's not self-willed. That means that he's not self-seeking or arrogant. Number 3, he's not quick-tempered. I like the literal translation is that he's not soon angry. I like that because anger is a natural human emotion. Now, how are you going to go and compete in boxing if you don't get angry about the guy you fight? You know? I know some of you, I lost some of you. You're not boxing fans, but you know, I mean, I'm not mad at you. You don't know, you gotta have some fire behind you, you know. But even more so, even in life, sometimes there's things that we get angry about. But the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. I can be angry about something, the way I was treated or the way I was abused or whatever, and I can be angry about it, but you know, I don't wanna go punch somebody in the nose. Be angry and sin not. You know, I think Jesus was just a little miffed when he was turning over the tables in the temple and beating people. Amen. He was angry, but there's a justified anger against sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 talks about a justified anger. I get angry when I see the devil messing with God's kids. I get angry when I see brothers and sisters who can't get together because they're entertaining the thoughts of the devil. I get angry when I see the devil come in and try to divide the church and stir up hatred and division within the church. I get a little upset. So don't expect me to have a little patience with the devil's work. I get angry about that. But as a pastor, we are to be to teach with all patience and all and with long suffering, the Bible says. But we're not to be quick tempered, that is soon angry. But to have a righteous indignation against the work of the enemy. Here's the fourth thing. We'll move on because we got to get through these pretty quick. Not given to wine. Not given to wine. It literally means tippling, which is an interesting word. I believe that's where we get the word tipsy. Amen. Am I reaching you now? Okay. A pastor's not to be tipsy. That word tippling means a habitual drinker of alcoholic liquors. So, you know, the pastor's not to be a slosh or someone who's just kind of, you know, showing up for church going, hey, good to see you, you know. Anyway, I could go on by that because my sense of humor is really whacked. But I'm going to move on. He's not to be violent. Amen. He's not to be punching folks in the nose, like I said. But that word violent, it means quarrelsome. He's not to be quarrelsome. You know, he doesn't have to be right about everything. But he's not quarrelsome. Not violent. He's not greedy for money. Not greedy for money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 6, Paul warned Timothy. He said, be careful of those who come around teaching that financial gain is godliness. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We have so many in the church today who are going around teaching that, you know, if you're middle class or poor, you're not really trusting God. That God wants you to be filthy rich all the time. And Paul warned against that kind of teaching. And there are pastors who are in the pulpit who are greedy for money. I know a pastor right now who's lost his church, churches for sale, everything else. Lost his home behind these financial schemes and scams, trying to get rich because he's greedy. Greedy for money. And being greedy for money, I mean, you might be an okay guy, but that person comes to you and say, hey, pastor, I got a deal for you. You know, if you get everybody in the church on this pyramid scheme, you know, you're going to get paid. You know, all that kind of, you got to be, you know, no. Greedy for money and the lure of that, you know, oh, yeah, you know. And besides, Lord, it'll be a blessing to the church because then we could pay off, you know. No, it's a trap. Don't be greedy for money. Here's the B, number seven, he is to be hospitable. Romans 12 said, we ought to be, as Christians, given to hospitality. The pastor ought to be hospitable. He should be a lover of what is good. A lover of what is good. Number nine, he should be sober-minded. That means soundness of mind in opinion and passion. In other words, he shouldn't be over the top, you know, ready to choke somebody because they don't want to see things his way or something. But soundness of mind. He should be just. Number 10, that is upright in his living. He should be holy. He should be holy. That is not a moral disgrace to the Lord. And number 12, he is to be self-controlled. Now, all of those that I've gone through is like, well, ooh, qualifications for, you know, for pastor, but there are also qualifications for every believer. You think about them. But the pastor is to be the lead. Now, that doesn't mean, well, pastor, I didn't do it, I ain't doing it. No. This is for all of us because we're really not following Pastor Al. We're really following Jesus Christ. Now, this is not, when I think about this and I go through this list, I mean, first, the weightiness of it as a pastor says, you know, this is a holy call. This is a high call, but not for those who are given the low living, like I said before. But this is not the character of a novice either. You don't want the pastor to be a novice. Like, you know, Paul didn't say, hey, Titus, find somebody who'll just fill the spot. We just need some warm bodies. Anybody that's willing to be an elder, you know, just point them. No. These are men who have proven character. These are men that, as Jesus spoke about in Mark chapter 9, verse 49, where he says that every believer will be seasoned with fire and with salt. That is someone whose character has been developed over time. Not someone who just jumped up one day and said, you know what, I think I could do that too. But someone whose character has been proven over time. Author Philip Brooks once said, character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small ones, close quote. Boy, isn't that the truth? Now, many of us can relate to this because you may be going through the motions right now. You may feel like your job is like, you know, going through the motions or where you're at in life and trusting God or whatever you may be going through. He said, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this, because maybe God is developing your character. They told me many years ago when I was in school, you know, in Bible college, he said, you know, guys, it's not how high you jump, but it's how straight you walk when you come down. Everybody wants to feel good and get all excited, you know, but how straight are you walking when you come down? What is your character like? And God is more concerned with developing your character than your charisma. And charisma is always a poor substitute for character in the ministry. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the New Living Translation says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begins. Don't despise, another translation says, the day of small things. You may be going through a time of small things. Maybe God has placed a call in your life or whatever, and you're going through the mundane and, you know, nobody's noticed me yet and all this. You know, be patient and wait upon the Lord. Be diligent in the small things God has given to you that he may give you greater things. A lot of ministers, they start with these great visions and you know, they're preaching. And I've seen some of these guys on television and they're on TV and they're preaching these messages. They're walking back and forth and they got on the $500 suits and everything. And the camera happens to pan over the audience and there's like eight people there. I'm like, what are you doing on TV? Now, I mean, okay, that's his vision or whatever, but sometimes we're trying to be something. You're trying to exalt ourselves. And Jesus said, he who seeks to exalt himself will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So we have to be careful. I'm talking to preachers now. Amen. Be careful. But for all of us, we need to be careful. Be faithful in the small things. Let God season your life with fire and salt so that you might have proven character. So this is a These characteristics are those of someone who has proven character, not a novice. Okay, lastly, he says, examine Make sure they're of the faith. Make sure they're holding on to the faith. In verse 9, he says that they need to be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, convict those who contradict. Holding fast to the faithful word of God, literally adhering to, caring for the Logos, the word of God, the divine expression of Jesus Christ. And Christ is expressed from Genesis to Revelation in this book. You know, you may be here visiting and thank you for joining us today. But when you go back to your church, or maybe you're searching for a church and you know, this wasn't your cup of tea. We understand, you know, we're not here to please everybody. And maybe you're still looking. That's fine. But make sure when you settle down in a church that it's a place where the man of God holds to the faithful word of God. That he teaches this book from Genesis to Revelation, and don't start ripping certain pages out that don't agree with him or aren't popular with today's society. So wherever you land, make sure that that man of God holds to the faithful word of God. It's so important for us today, because we live at a time where many church leaders today have become full of themselves, to think that they need not hold fast to the word, because if I hold fast to the word, I will lose my followers. If I hold fast to God's word, people won't like me. And they walk in the fear of man, and the Bible says the fear of man is a snare to your life. Pastor and theologian J. Sidlow Baxter once said that no man who is full of himself can ever truly preach the Christ who emptied himself, close quote. No one who is full of himself can preach fully the word of God, concerned about what people might think of them, or I may make somebody mad if I preach the whole counsel of God's word. Then let them get mad. But preach the truth of God. Hold on to the faithful word of God.
And that's a real challenge today, isn't it? You're almost certain to have criticism thrown your way anytime you proclaim the truth of God's word. But don't let that stop you from doing it. In these confusing and sometimes scary times in which we live, would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now, once again, here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message in Titus chapter 1.
To neglect God's word is to disregard the two essential tools, I believe, in the building up of the body of Christ. And Paul gives them to us here. He says exhortation and conviction. You need the two. Just like you need when you're working out or you're exercising. You need to work out, but you also need a time, that resting period. You know, working out is like the conviction of your life. You know, it breaks you down. Those of you who work out, who've studied things like this, you know that you have to break the muscle down before it can grow. You know, those TV commercials you've been watching, and if you sent off from it for some of this stuff, we love you. God bless you. But you sent off for a TV thing where they had the little belt thing you'd put on, and you just wear it. You have to do anything all day, and it just kind of does one of these motions or something and, on your stomach. And you're supposed to have six-pack abs in 2 weeks. That's a lie. They're lying to you. You're being deceived. You've got to put some sweat equity in it. Your muscles got to hurt and ache sometimes so that you break those muscles down. That's conviction, so that you can be built up. And so I want to go to a church not where there's just exhortation, or a church where there's only conviction. Because if there's only conviction, you've got a depressed congregation. If there's only exhortation, you've got a carnal congregation. So I don't want somebody just telling me, making me, stroking me with the feather, you know, every week that I come in and say, oh, you're just so wonderful. I'm good, you know, and you're good, and we're all good, and God is good. And, you know, I want to hear somebody tell me the truth and step on my toes every now and then. I want to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, because I know I need that in my own life so that I can grow. Because it's not just conviction, convicting those who contradict, who are outside the church, or who come inside the church to try to stir up stuff in the church, but it's conviction against that which contradicts the word of God in my own life. There are things in your life that contradict what the word of God says. And I need God's conviction so that I can grow. So I can be built up. I can be strong. So I thank God for the exhortation. How are we going to exhort without sound doctrine? How are we going to build people up if you've got a man of God who won't hold on to the word of God? How are we going to build up the body of Christ apart from his truth? We cannot. The pastor must be a man of faith, faithfully proclaiming the faithful word of God. Here's the application that I want to leave you with, because we've talked a lot about pastors and pastor's call, qualifications and all. But again, I submit to you that all these things you can apply to yourself, to your own life. Are you holding fast to the word? Do you have character that exemplifies the life of Christ living within you? Is your family a family that is in order? Are your children believing children? If not, that's fine. I'm not saying it's fine in the sense of forget about it, but pray for them. That's your first mission field. And I would say to any pastor, and I know this very well, that you first have to be a priest at home. You have to be a priest at home. So, you know, all these things are important in the pastor's life, but in our lives as well. But here's the application, that every believer here has something to give which the church desperately needs. Paul said, Titus, I want you to set things in order so that the things that are lacking within the church can be addressed. And there are things within Calvary Worship Center that are lacking. The Bible says that God has blessed you, each and every believer in here, in such a way that you have something that this church, if you're a member here of this church desperately needs. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says that we are knit together by what every joint supplies as each member of the body does its share. We're built up by what every joint supplies. You need, you have something that needs, you're able to supply something to the church that we desperately need. I don't know what that is, but God knows. And we'll never know until we seek to fill up that which is lacking. Now, how do we set things in order? How do we address what is lacking within the church? I think it's very simple. Here's the way you do it. By observing what is lacking and doing something about it. Now, I'm not trying to be flippant, but just the reality is that you see what's lacking and you do something about it. We had at our volunteer meeting yesterday, a dear sister, you know, she asked me, she said, you know, is there a pastor around that will start a ministry for the handicapped? And I said, quickly, no. I wasn't trying to be smart. I said, no. I said, but you know what? God has placed that burden in you. God has given you the burden for that. And you, I bet you even have a vision for that ministry, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, maybe God's calling you to do something. I said, because the reality is that you're sitting around waiting for Pastor Al to do something. I'm a little thick. Yeah, I walk past stuff, you know, it's like, you know, I can't see things. And my wife says, you know, your socks are in the drawer, you know. I can't find it. I can't find it. And she walks up, you know. I looked. You know, so it's like, you know, I don't see everything, and I'm a little slow. So, but God has placed you in the church to fill up something that is lacking. So I encourage her to pray, and if she feels this is from the Lord, to meet with one of the pastors. We want to give you oversight and help guide you. But if God's given you that burden, then you do it. You go for it. Because obviously, probably within this church, there's a real need for a ministry for handicapped kids. And there's a ministry for parents who are raising autistic children who can't even come to church because they're embarrassed, maybe because of their kids' behavior. There may be somebody out there that could raise up a ministry, a special needs ministry, to minister to those children so the parents can at least come to church and be blessed and fed themselves. I'm talking to you. Now, listen, I'm just talking about stuff. But God has placed some things on some of your hearts that you've seen lacking. You're saying, I wonder when Pastor Al's going to start doing that. Never. Because I'm doing what God's already called me to do. I'm happy. I'm content. Oh, there are certain things that God has, you know, the general direction of the church and some visions I have. And I'm still dreaming about things. But I know what I'm doing, what he's called me to do. What has he called you to do? What is lacking in the church? You walk by, you know, Sunday school class, and you look in there and go, you know, somebody needs to go in there and empty the trash cans. And then you empty the trash cans. Fill up what's lacking. Well, I wish somebody would put some signs out here. You make the signs. Get with Pastor John, make the signs, and you do something about the parking situation out here. I mean, be proactive. That's what he means when he says, set in order things that are lacking. What's lacking? Then jump in and fulfill it. Fill that lack. That's being the body of Christ. That's not going to church. That's being the church. Amen? And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Now, some of you are like me. You feel like, I feel completely inadequate. Well, you know what? Welcome to the club. You know, I'm a charter member of inadequacy. But God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise and the weak to confound the strong. And so you're in good company. And you may feel like, well, I can't. But listen, you know what? God can perform great works through you. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And then when we serve him according to grace, mercy, and peace. We probably missed that when we started reading our text. But look at what Paul says to Titus to just start off. In verse 4, he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we serve each other. Even though we feel inadequate, we serve by God's grace, his mercy, and his peace. And in doing so, when we serve, we become an extension of God's love for others. Amen? Fill up that which is lacking. Communion reminds us of that very fact. Everything's tied back to Jesus. Because Jesus died because God saw we were lacking. Communion speaks of our lack, that we lack grace, we lack God's peace, we lack joy, we lack everlasting life. We lack forgiveness, and Jesus came. God sent his son to die for us that he might fill up that which we lack. In fact, he gave us the righteousness we desperately needed so that we could be called the very righteousness of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the psalmist reminds us concerning the lack that we have in our lives, that our God is able to fill up that which lacks within us. And you may lack mercy this morning. You may lack grace. You may feel like you lack a sense of God's presence or whatever your lack is today. God wants to bless you. He wants to fill up that which lacks within you. He sent Jesus to do that for us. So what do you need? You can come to the Father and you can talk to him about that which you lack. The psalmist says in Psalm 34:10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. The young lions were the young rulers and the bold, the rich, the empowered in that culture. He said, but they lack and they suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're there checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.